Lindsay, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is July 18th, 2017. I have a sponsor, and I have wonderful sponsee sisters. I do not yet sponsor others, but I'm looking forward to it. Where I've been, what happened, and what it's like now. Well, I just want to say that I am loving being the center of attention, and I need all of you to like me so much. I'm going to live and die on your opinion of me because I'm an alcoholic, but I simultaneously just need all of the attention. I've always been an alcoholic just waiting to take a drink. I was an extremely dramatic child. I need attention. Everything is a performance. And if I put on that performance for no one, then I get very mad and even more dramatic. My first drink was when I was a young teenager. My parents had a small sailboat, and there was a place called the Sailing Squadron in Sarasota. And there were these older kids who were much cooler and super attractive, and I really needed them to like me. And they were making coconut rum and cokes, and we were sitting on a catamaran, and it has canvas in the middle, which springs like this, which is a great place to drink for the first time. And I had a drink, and I felt very warm, and I felt very relaxed, and I felt like nothing really mattered. And then when I got up, I spilled everyone else's drinks. So that was a party foul, and I had to make drinks for the group. But I really just always wanted to, attention, but really to be loved. But I've never known how to love or be loved honestly, ever. Hence the performing. It's a performance. And drinking really helped with the performance aspect of it. Not the way some of y'all are thinking over here with the guys. Not that. But drinking really helped with the... It didn't matter. The voices in my head all stopped. The caring about who was watching the performance and who was enjoying it and whether or not I'm getting attention and validation, it all just sort of shushed. And my sobriety is fairly recent. At the end of my drinking, I was no longer even going out. Like, I'd have imaginary scenarios in my head where I would go out and put on a performance, and it would be fun drinking. And now, like, I'm going to go out with friends and drink at a bar, and it's going to be fun. And I'm going to sparkle, and everybody's going to love me and laugh at my jokes. But what actually happened in real life was that I would put on super stretchy pajama pants and get a handle of vodka and sit on my couch and watch Parks and Recreation until I passed out. Parks and Rec is a great show, but drinking an entire handle of vodka by yourself and talking to yourself endlessly is not something I would recommend. It's not healthy. It's not the sparkling scenario that I imagined would happen. So much of everything that I thought was great about drinking was all in my head. Like, I'd get home from work. I worked in TV news, by the way, which I don't recommend. Let's just keep it that way. I don't recommend if you don't want to know how awful the world is. So get home, shoes are off, real clothing is off, pant pajamas. I have a wardrobe of pajamas. Pajamas come on. I sit down in front of the TV. I pour myself a drink. It's finally... And you just stop. The performance stops. Everything stops. I just stop. And I just get to go away from behind my eyes. But the flip side of that was that eventually I started worrying about not coming back from where I was going. I realized, and you hear it, and if you're new, you think it's bullshit. Like, you don't get to come back. Like, well, I mean, yeah, I do. And like, you don't have to drink again. Well, what do you mean? That's not the point. Like, of course, I don't have to. I want to. So much of that stuff that I heard in here when I first came in, I did not understand. And this actually isn't my first time around. I came in 2009, when I genuinely thought I was losing my mind, and I only stayed sober for 90 days and decided I was just depressed. Just depressed. I'm just depressed because nobody likes this amazing Lindsay show that I'm putting on that is now going to be canceled after 15 seasons of drinking. It was getting shit ratings, you guys. It was not a good show. But I realized, I was like, I couldn't continue doing that without real-world consequences. Like, I was not a good employee. I would go to work hungover. I still produced a damn good newscast on my worst day. But nobody's having any fun. Like, you're not enjoying it. It's awful. It's a struggle. I was dragging myself through every day like I was full of concrete. It was exhausting. Like, one of the first things that happened when I stopped drinking is that I was tired all the time. Like, after my first 90 days, I was like, I'm going to go see a doctor if I don't stop being so tired all the time. But it's because just I was so exhausted from, like, 15 years of drinking so hard that every day was a struggle. Every day was just climbing endlessly up a mountain to get to the drink and then falling back down the mountain and then having to get up in the morning, vomit, likely as not, and then go back up the mountain and then Google, you know, broken blood vessels in face, how best to cover with makeup. I puke so hard it hurt. I do not miss that one single bit. I don't miss it at all. But the not coming back from where I was going, things were happening. I was like, my hands and feet were starting to be numb in the morning. Like, I was starting to drink through the vodka a lot faster. Like, I had no friends. I had, like, men that I would call when I was drunk. Sure, like, those dudes are always around. But they didn't matter, and I didn't matter to them. It wasn't even a fun, sparkling show in my head anymore. Like, I knew how pathetic it was, but I still did it. And I realized, like, my hands and feet were numb in the morning when I woke up hungover. The hangovers were lasting 2 days, maybe three, instead of just one. I was starting to have, like, I was sweating all the time, just all the time, sweating and just deeply uncomfortable. And just, I forgot what it was like to not be hungover. I was hungover so much. Even if it was just a little one and not a really bad one, like alcohol poisoning where I couldn't move for a whole day, you know, compared to that, it's fine. It's fine. And because I didn't have many people close to me, a lot of people didn't know what was going on. Like, they didn't realize how bad it was. Like, I met up with a friend I hadn't talked to in a while, like, a couple months ago, and he's like, oh, you quit drinking? I had no idea you were doing this to yourself, you know, in your apartment alone with a gallon of vodka. Like, I had no idea this was happening with you. Like, my coworkers probably knew, but none of them confronted me because I was never drunk at work. I was just post-drunk and just very unpleasant and probably smelled bad. But I was, I knew that I had a problem. I just didn't want to do anything about it. Like, that was almost worse than denial for me, like, knowing you have a problem. Like, okay, I know I have a problem, and I'm not going to do anything about it. Too much work. Can't. Not gonna. But I got to a point, I was talking to my sister on the phone, and I was looking at the living room floor where I spent many nights passed out with my cheek against the cool wood of the floor. And I was talking to my sister, and I was like, yeah, alcohol has just sort of become a shitty, abusive boyfriend. Like, oh, he didn't mean to hurt me. He won't do it again. I love you, baby. Come back. And I knew I was going to keep that relationship going. And I saw, like, I don't have, like, visions, and I'm not super religious, but I saw myself lying dead on my living room floor. Not, you know, sparkling and interesting and part of a story and people laughing at my jokes. I just saw myself with a little bit of, like, a stretch mark belly showing, the dead on the floor of my apartment. And I realized that, like, that is not a vague possibility anymore. I could and will drink myself to death. And, like, the reality just settled on me. Like, all of a sudden, it was no longer like, you're going to drink yourself to death. It's like, yeah, whatever, like, 60-year-old person who's definitely drinking themselves to death. I don't need that advice from you. I'm not going to drink myself to death. But, yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm absolutely going to drink myself to death. And I saw myself dead, and I realized, like, that was the moment where I thought, okay, you still have a choice here. You can fully commit, acknowledge what you're doing, and drink yourself to death. You don't have to stop drinking. You can drink yourself to death. That is an option. Or you can go get help, and we can see how that goes. And that's what I did. I went into AA, and I've met some truly, truly, truly amazing women who have really helped me. And it's been Like I don't regret a thing. I've had like cravings, and it was such a habit. It was such a routine. Like that's just what I did. I would just come home and start drinking, and interrupting that routine was a huge part of me just not drinking for a longer period of time. Like this is the longest I've ever gone without a drink in my adult life, because I'm actually trying. I'm not just fully committing to drinking myself to death. I'm going like, no, I want to have my life. And now that I'm actually, how am I doing? Like, now that I'm actually having my life, like, I'm here for my life. And hearing myself say that, like, that sounds ridiculous. Like, I'm not a motivational person. I'm extremely cynical. I am rude. I will be mean to you. But I can also be nice, and I'll listen to you. But, like, in the end, I just believe, like, my motto at work, whenever anybody says anything's going badly, I'm like, well, it'll be okay. And if it isn't, we'll all be dead soon. Like, that's how I convince people to look on the bright side. Like, someone was like, oh, what's going to happen if North Korea launches nukes at us? And I said, I'm going to jump in the air and say, wee, until I'm vaporized. Like, that's what I'm going to do. That's my plan. So as far as, you know, like, I believe I can get sober and have a better life and everything's going to be great. It's like, yeah, sure. But that has actually freaking happened. It has actually happened. Like, I just put, like, all the cement that was filling me, the cement and that, like, bile taste that you have all the time and just, like, not feeling well and not wanting to face anyone. Like, that doesn't happen to me anymore, and I am incredibly fucking grateful for it. Like, I forgot what it felt like to feel normal and to be there for your own life. Like, I went on a vacation recently, which is, like, no big deal. You know, like, whatever, you go on a vacation, you just had to get out of town. But this was the first vacation that I'd been on, like, by myself since stopping drinking. And I realized, like, it was so amazing just because I was there. I was, like, present for all of it. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I went hiking in North Georgia. It was really pretty. I saw a bear. Didn't get eaten. I hiked all these waterfalls. It was gorgeous. And I was hiking the waterfalls because I could get up early in the morning because I wasn't hungover. Because I didn't have to get up and make time for puking and recovery and, like, mainlining Pedialyte and going back to bed for 3 hours and then realizing you missed the entire day and all of the hiking that you meant to do, and I would have never seen a bear. And I just, all this stuff I would have missed. I would have missed it. And it was beautiful. And, like, that was just me. Like, I love being outside. Like, going outside, I love, like, you know, canoeing, hiking, just going to the beach, whatever. So this was just a miraculous experience for me to be there for something amazing in my life that I absolutely never would have had if I'd still been drinking. Because it would have been, okay, I got to find a liquor store in this rural county before, you know, the stores close at 4, and then I got to get back to the cabin so that I can drink and I can get enough sleep and wake up tomorrow morning, recover it. Like, I didn't have to worry about any of that. Like, the cement that I was carrying around, like, all the planning that I had to do to drink was just, it was gone. Like, I feel so much lighter. Like, I'm physically, I probably, like, weigh too much. In fact, I know that because my doctor says it to my face. Jerk. But I don't care because I feel amazing. I feel amazing. I feel the most amazing that I have ever felt in my entire adult life. And it sounds so cheesy to hear myself say that, like, I want to punch myself in the stomach. But it's true. Like, it's not going to make it less true. It's amazing. And I just know that I have to keep, I have to keep coming here, and I have to keep asking for help. Like, that's what sucks. I don't like being vulnerable. I don't like asking people for help. I don't like calling people. They say call people. I don't call people enough. Nod your heads yes, you know it's true. I don't call people enough. I need to reach out. I need to get better in my sobriety, but I do not regret my sobriety for one second. It is absolutely the best decision I've made in my adult life. And, like, could I still fuck up? Absolutely. Would I die if I went back out? It's 50-50. So I really hope that doesn't happen. And I don't regret for a second coming into AA and giving this a shot. And I had lots of gripes. Lots of gripes. Gonna tear everything down. Gonna tear down all your steps and your spirituality. Gonna tear everything down. Gonna find holes in everything and knock everything down so that I can go, see, ha ha, I knew it. You're all a bunch of frauds. And then walk away. But again, that was part of the cement I was lugging around. Like, just being cynical. I'm not gonna try. I'm not gonna do anything. What's the point? Just try. And, you know, maybe you won't drink yourself to death. It's worked so far for me. So I hope it keeps working. Thanks.